Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You will drain it.
Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And we're delayed today because I've been trying to figure out why I Stand With the Lesbian Babadook is trending. And I figured it out. And it honestly, I was like, what is this? Because I had to click.
I'm just sitting here for like 15 minutes. Bobby's like, okay, hold on.
The lesbian Babadook thing is an old thing, like an old meme.
Or just like Babadook being gay or Babadook being like part of gay culture has already been a thing.
I will explain this. And I will end with the punchline. I will end. No, I got it right.
Okay.
So there is an actor. Her name is Amy Carrero. She is the voice of She-Ra in the new version of She-Ra, the Netflix She-Ra. She was a Disney star.
Okay.
And she was a Freeform star. She was on that show Young and Hungry, which I never watched, but she was on that. The She-Ra thing is the big thing because she is She-Ra. Okay. Fine.
Okay. And people are watching She-Ra.
She's acting. She's young. She's like 31 years old. Okay. Whatever. She's very active on social media. She has like a couple hundred thousand Instagram followers. She's like being like vocal about coronavirus. Like, this is Trump's fault, blah, 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 blah. She's very woke.
Okay.
That's the backstory. But she's also very famous, right? She's famous. She's rich. She's beautiful.
Okay.
This is important.
Okay.
Someone tweeted, you know, the meme of the little boy putting bullets in a gun and it's always like when the class war starts and I'm the one assigned to kill X, you know, that was the one about Bon Appetit. And it's like,
oh, and he's sad. He's like crying. Yeah.
The meme is a sad little boy loading,
gotta go.
loading a gun who has been assigned to kill someone they stan.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
And it's all a reference to like a vague class war,
right,
or like the French Revolution. Someone tweeted, when the class war starts and I got to put the voice of She-Ra in a guillotine and it's a little boy and it's a little boy loading the gun.
Okay.
This got the attention of the voice of She-Ra, Amy Carrera. Uh-huh. And she was really mad and she tweeted, here's how it works. You post about slicing my head off with the guillotine or any other scenario that ends in my death, you're getting reposted. Don't want that for you? Don't make jokes about killing me. It couldn't be simpler. And then the emoji of the woman going like, whoop, with one arm, you know, whoop. And people were mad at her. They were like, why do you keep reposting this person who said they were going to be sad about putting you in the guillotine?
They're sad about it. Do you understand that they're sad?
And she's like, I get death threats all the time. This is not cool. I want to like show the world, because I am this woke person, that celebrities have to go through this bullshit a lot. And so people are mad at her for continually reposting
this guillotine meme.
That has been deleted. They're like, it's been deleted, so why are you still reposting it? Okay. Who originally posted the joke about not wanting to put the voice of She-Ra in the guillotine? At Lesbian Babadook on Twitter.
Oh, so it's not even about a lesbian Babadook. It's just...
It has nothing to do with the lesbian Babadook.
But somehow Lesbian Babadook is trending, too.
What is trending is hashtag I stand with Lesbian Babadook. I stand with Lesbian
You're
Babadook.
Right, because she's mistaking this... this meme joke, this like stanning, this like you announce you stan. She's mistaking that for an actual death threat. When what it is, it's a construction of a meme that means you stan.
And it's not that she even did anything wrong. The only thing she did, quote unquote, wrong is be in the upper class. So now people are comparing her reaction to someone else did. You know the meme of Wesley Snipes crying?
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to kill. Okay. Someone did that and it said, when the class war starts and I've been assigned to kill Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
And Tony Hawk responded to someone posting that, like, I appreciate the hesitation.
Yeah, see, that's the, yeah, right, that's the joke.
So now the hashtag I stand with lesbian Babadook is being combined with the hashtag be like Tony Hawk. It's very funny.
Wait, but so this She-Ra actress is, she's like,
she did,
she's
nothing
like
wrong.
Saved the meme and like keeps reposting the meme that is like already deleted, but like she keeps posting it.
Yes. So there's a screenshot up on her Instagram story right now, and someone responded to her reposting the meme. And then they said, holy shit, will you shut up?
Oh, and she said,
and she said, literally never. Here's how it works. You post about putting my head on a guillotine or anything else that ends with my bloody demise, you are getting reposted. So the answer is to like not make jokes about killing me. Sound good?
Oh, boy.
But it's the number eight trend right now. I stand with lesbian
Baba. It means they love you.
Honey, literally the whole premise of this joke is about hesitation. It's based on the popularized meme that went around the race war in Tony Hawk.
Honey.
It's about calling out classes and going, I love you, but this is about class.
Okay.
Everyone's trying to school her. It's funny. That's funny.
This is the worst.
Anyway, that's...
That's really funny. I'm so glad you dug into I stand with lesbian Babadook.
I had to figure it out. And it's like most of the time when you actually dig into a trend, you're like, oh God, why is this thing trending? You're like, miserable? That was funny. Oh, honey, that was funny.
Sometimes it's... Yeah, well, sometimes somebody's trending and I'm like, oh God. And then I click it and it's like people defending them. And the thing that they were trending for was like, is now irrelevant because there's more people who are like... this is wrong or I disagree or da da, then in the first place it's a bad system, honestly, the trending, very bad system.
It's bad. Like yesterday Dennis Quaid was trending and I was like, oh God, does he like Trump or something? And he did. So I was just like, okay,
well, there you go. So I was like, okay.
And I clicked on the Daily Beast interview with him and I was like, I don't care about what he says about Trump. I want to hear what he says about his young wife.
Well, their wedding had to get delayed.
Of COVID, yeah.
I know. Too bad.
It was like Marlo Stern. And he's like, so what? Like people are talking about the age difference. And he's like, yeah, I don't care. And then they just move on. Like, okay. What did I expect from Dennis Quaid being asked about an age gap?
Right. What is he going to care? Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Exactly.
You are listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. We'll start with some comments. There's a really good one right now. So let's do this.
Hi, Who Weekly. I'm on famousbirthdays.com, and I would like to wish a very happy birthday to the Busby Quintuplets, who are a set of five-year-olds who are featured on the list today. But they're ranked, and they're not next to each other. So the first one is Hazel, who's number 9 on the list. And then Riley and Ava are 13 and 14 on the list. And they just keep scrolling. Your sister Parker is number 20. And then Olivia is 23. It's just how... That's kind of fucked up.
This really made me laugh. That each Busby Quint, they're like 5 years old, actually they're all the same age, they have to be, is a different number on the rating list of famous birthdays. Like, how dare they do that to these?
Well, I mean, it must be an algorithm. Like, they're not
it is.
They're not in it here is. Updating this every day. Like, congrats to Hazel Busby for being number one.
The Busby Quints are from a TLC reality show called Outdaughtered, which ran for 6 seasons. Don't you love when you find out about a show that you like have never even heard? Like,
I've never seen the title. Sometimes it's like, oh, I've seen the title, but I have no idea what the show is.
Outdaughtered. So I guess
the font looks like that should be. It should be a really bad PG-rated family, like big budget family comedy.
I think that's what this show is.
Starring like Rose Byrne and The Rock, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. It's they accidentally got all these kids. Oh no, he's been outdaughtered. He was a playboy and then, you know, he got all these daughters. Okay.
The IVF doctor's like, I gave you too much.
Oops.
I'm just looking at the names of the episodes of this show, and they're all Raising such Quince a nightmare. 101. They're all nightmare.
Tornado warning. Quince on the high
seas. A little potty never killed nobody. Good Quince. Good Quince gone bad.
Okay, okay, okay.
The Nightmare Before Easter. Okay, when the Busbys are away, the Quints will play. Why'd you leave the kids alone? It. Okay, next call.
I can't wait for someone to call and be like, I'm the biggest fan of Outdaughtered.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. Long time, long time. I'm listening to this week's episode, and I just had to pause because Omarion's charity, while incredible, may also be subliminal promo because he had a series of mixtapes called The Care Package and The Care Package 2. So I wonder if there's maybe just a little bit behind his act of giving care packages, and he wants people to stream those albums, stream those mixtapes. Still love him, though. Okay, that's all. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
It is not subliminal. That is 100% so what's going on here. It's quite clear if you knew that Omarion has two mixtapes, each are called Care Package and Care Package 2. I'm cracking up.
Beautiful
when you think
art.
We're in these care packages.
Beautiful art. Care Package 1, 2012. Check care Package 2, 2013.
Check them out on datpiff.com. Or maybe if you get a care package, it'll include a copy of Care Package.
Some N95 masks, gloves.
And care package.
Two mixtapes.
Hi, guys. I had to pause the episode because Bobby said that Sally Field's son is hosting a show on Quibi, and that is not her son. That is Dave Mazzoni. He's a hooey comedian, and I thought it was just so fucking funny because they kind of do sound, or they kind of do look similar, but just thought I'd call in because I'm making meatballs and I'm dying over here. Anyway, ScarJo, yummy pop. Bye.
To be fair, Bobby calls every gay person he doesn't know Sally Field's son. That's just shorthand.
That's not entirely true, but it's half true.
I'm joking.
The thing is, I didn't know. So I knew who Matt Rogers was because he's the host of Las Culturistas. And I remember when Game Show was announced, I was like, I don't know who that is, but he looks like Sally Field's son. And it's sort of like I told the lie enough times that it became true. I knew that he wasn't Sally Field's son, but
Bobby recited like a joke. It was a joke of my own that I've been months on the podcast.
A friend of mine DM'd me and was like, I was laughing, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, you know.
You know what? I called Christoph Waltz Christopher Walken, and I mixed up the Hemsworths in the same Quibi show.
It's fine. It's fine. But yes, I'm sorry, Sally Field's son, Sam Greisman. You are not the co-host of Game Show. Dave Mazzoni is.
I believe he could be.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, talented, he could be.
Of course.
And shout out Dave Mazzoni, who is the host of Game Show.
Who is the host? Okay, next call.
I just called to tell y'all that what y'all said about knowing both Molly Shannon and Charli D'Amelio is wrong. I am 22. I know who both of them are. I know Molly Shannon because she was in the Santa Claus 2, and she sang I Feel Like Some Christmas. And Tim Allen's character did not like her, and he was disgusted by her. And I know Charli D'Amelio because I'm, like, a little too old for TikTok, but I have one, so I know who she is. So I don't, like, y'all are just wrong. I don't know. Like, it's not that crazy. Okay. Crunch, crunch.
You are an older Gen Z, yeah.
Yeah. And I found the song. Want me to play it?
Yeah, it's weird knowing Molly Shannon from Santa Claus 2, but sure.
I haven't seen the Santa Claus 2, but I did see Santa Claus 1 in theaters. In theaters, opening weekend.
I've seen Santa Claus 1.
With the family, and then we went bowling afterwards.
Oh, that's so nice.
Whoa, oh, go totally Yuletide. Taking a sleigh ride. Santa shirt, reindeer skirts. Mm-hmm. Hey. Watching the windows fog, drinking some eggnog.
That's good.
Fill up a stocking. I spray on some flocking. Put up a tree. Free. Sports on TV. I want to be free, yeah, to feel the way I feel, man, I feel like some Christmas.
I feel like some Christmas.
Feel like some Christmas?
I feel like some Christmas.
I love that there's all these movies where, like, the man has to like go on a blind date and the woman's always crazy. But it's like,
right,
this dude is literally turning into Santa Claus. Why are they making the woman out to be a psycho? He's Santa Claus.
It's like you're calling me crazy that I point out that you look like Santa Claus and you are Santa Claus. Like, no, sweetie. Like, that is not like, on me. That's on you. You look like Santa Claus.
She's allowed to do Shania Twain parodies in public if you are literally Santa Claus.
She's like, am I going on a date with Santa Claus? You know, that would spin you and you would lose your mind.
Okay, next call. That would spin you. Let's do a few name blindness things. They're good.
So name mix up things. Oh shit, okay. But I have Ray Drummond, Ray Strummer, and then I just Ray Dunn is a different person. Then Reed Drummond, they seem the exact same to me. That's why I get mixed up. I'm sorry. I've coined him by name.
I had never heard of Ray Dunn, but I looked it up and it's like a famous pottery brand. That's expensive. Anyway.
What's funny is that Ray Strummerd, the hip hop group, is, don't forget, it's Ear Drummers Backwards. So the fact that Ear Drummers Backwards somehow matches up, but it's more, not really how you say it, it's more just looking at it on the page. It looks just like Ree Drummond.
Yeah.
Like, it looks just like Ree Drummond.
What's the thing where it's like, oh, we really look at the first and last letters of a word first when we see them?
Well, it reminds me of that, like, meme where it's, like, written out without the vowels and you read it really quickly, or what does that mean? It's like
our brain is like cheating when it reads, and that's basically what it's doing. It's trying to do it quickly, and so when you look at Ray Strummerd, you're just like, oh, it's the pioneer woman, because our brains are dumb. Oh, it's
or
Ray
you
Dunn.
Might look at Ree Drummond and be like, Ray Strummerd.
Oh, it's Ray Strummerd.
That one really made me laugh.
Okay, next one.
Lindsay, Bobby, I have a serious case of celebrity name blindness that just came to me because I always just confuse Catherine McPhee and Nanny McPhee. Like that. Where the nanny is like a witch, but like a nice witch. And but it's Ella Thompson. Because I just got anxious before I called, so I looked it up, and it's because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't correct, because, like, what if Catherine McPhee played Nanny McPhee? Okay, I need to be done. Thank you. Crunch, crunch.
I need to be done.
Thank you. To be fair, Aaron and Sarah Foster call her Nanny McPhee.
Oh, they do?
No, I'm just saying. That'd be funny. That would be very them if they did, you know?
Catherine McPhee and Nanny McPhee. Sure, maybe they're related. Maybe they have the same name. I could understand that.
I've never seen Nanny McPhee. I haven't seen Nanny McPhee
interested.
Returns. I feel
I'm
like
really
I'm a little old for it. But that's
really
good.
I'm really interested in seeing Nanny McPhee, I think, at this point in my life.
Okay, so this is like along the lines of celebrity dyslexia, but I just watched, I thought it was Mystic Pizza. I hadn't seen it since, you know, like 10 years ago. I watched Mystic Pizza. Love Julia Roberts. I'm like, great, great, great. I see on Netflix Mystic River, and I assumed that was Mystic Pizza. So I watched it waiting, and it's not like it at all. And I don't know what to do. Duncan makes it easy.
Imagine putting on Mystic River and thinking it's going to be a cute little rom-com about a pizza place in Connecticut.
How long would it take to figure that out?
Where's
the turn? Where does the dead girl come? Like, fast or in the mid? Like, when does that happen? Pretty immediately, right?
Well,
I haven't seen
Mystic
River
murdered,
in a while.
She's murdered kind of early, but there's plenty of other awful stuff right
no,
at the beginning.
No, I know, but if you were watching Mystic River, how long would it take you to be maybe like, where is Julia Roberts? Or like,
I think five minutes. It's not a cakewalk the beginning of Mystic River.
Did we talk about, we definitely probably talked about going to Mystic Pizza on this podcast. It happened in the past. That was a great time.
We probably went to Mystic Pizza 8 years ago.
Okay, so it was before the
2012.
It was a great time. We loved Mystic Pizza. We loved it.
It's actually really good. And I think about Mystic Pizza that's good is that it's, you know, it's like a suburban pizza place. So it's really
it's big. It's spacious. It's not fancy. It's shitty good pizza. You know, like it's solid good.
And then there are posters all over the walls. It's fun.
Yeah.
Watch Mystic Pizza. Don't watch Mystic River. I hate Mystic River.
It's just very...
It's like, chill out, okay?
It's not really worth the heaviness of itself.
Now let's move on to questions, because we've done enough comments.
Vet bills can be expensive, but Spot Pet Insurance can give you up to 90% cash back on vet bills, so you can worry less about high vet bills. Yep, up to 90% cash back on vet bills for unexpected accidents, illness, and even routine care. And with Spot Pet Insurance plans, you can go to any vet you want in the U.S. or Canada. There's no network you need to stick to, so visit your favorite vet, and you can save money on expensive vet bills. That's Spot Pet Insurance. It's no wonder Spot is America's favorite pet insurance. Visit spotpet.com for a free quote today. For all terms, visit spotpetins.com/sample-policy. Spot Pet Insurance plans are underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produce Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC. This is an independent ad from Spot Pet Insurance Services, LLC.
Hi, Who Weekly. Medium time. Just calling to let you know that I'm watching live with Kelly and Ryan, and Laura Prettypond is on to explain how to make oatmeal more interesting. She's teaching people how to make oatmeal during this quarantine. That's all I have to say. Stay clean. Crunch, crunch.
There are so many cool, interesting, technologically revolutionary things happening right now on TV. Like the lengths that they're going through to keep these TV shows going is astounding sometimes, right?
It's really impressive. It's like, you know, it's again, it's life finds a way.
On the other hand, there are some terrible things going on TV. It's like stuff ends up on TV that would never in a million years air on TV. And we're talking about TV doesn't have like these high standards. I'm just saying like the things they are
especially
putting on
Kelly
these shows
and Ryan
to fill air is astounding. And recently, Laura Prepon, our favorite prepper, Laura Prepon, who's prepped, she's prepped.
She's out of the bunker. She's at home.
She reappeared. She had a kid. She reappeared. I think she has a book coming out to promote
another
this
one,
book.
Another
she,
one, yeah.
I don't know. She went on Live and Kelly. And meanwhile, Kelly and Ryan are not together. Kelly's somewhere, Ryan's somewhere, and Laura's somewhere. And she showed them how to spice up oatmeal. Literally. And her clip, the quality of her video is so bad. Like, it's shocking. Wait, please just play. Okay.
So to set the scene, we've got, you know, because it's the age of quarantine TV, so everyone's calling in, everyone's dialing in from their own homes. So we've got Kelly on the left in her den, guest bedroom, not the kitchen. Ryan is in the kitchen doing the work. He's like kind of following Laura's lead and making oatmeal with his AirPods in, by the way. He's talking on his AirPods. Laura's in her actual kitchen, not her bunker, because there's like a beautiful marble island. There's natural light.
I wonder, this is my like podcast. I wonder if they sent him a really nice mic, but the AirPods are because he's like on the phone essentially.
Yeah, he probably has to hear it. Yeah. I think they definitely have good mics, the two of them, but Laura's using, I don't know. It sounds like she had what was once a good mic, but then it was dumped in the Mystic River and then let dry, and then she started using it again because it's crackly.
And it was fished out.
And if you listen closely to what she's saying, you hear Sean Penn go, "Is there my daughter in there?" Like, listen carefully to what Laura Prepon is saying in all of this.
Yeah, so I'm really trying to look at ways to spice up things that you naturally will just have in your pantry. So one thing that I love to do is a lot of people have oatmeal. And I personally love steel-cut oats. They're less processed, so the digestion process is slower. It keeps you fuller for longer. and it has more nutrients. So that's why I always go with steel cut oats. These are three different versions that I do in my home. You guys totally at home doctor it up your own way. So this is just what we do. So I'll give you an example.
She's like coming to you live from like a bunker in Moscow.
That's why I like steel cut oats.
She's like coming to you live from the clear water bunker. Me and my husband are here making oatmeal more interesting.
And she's done this on her YouTube channel because I've seen this episode. She's like, oh, my husband likes a savory oat, so I put olive oil in like salty things. I like a sugary oat, so I put strawberries and maple syrup. My kids like this, so I put blueberries. Okay. That's it. We have been putting things in oatmeal for as long as we've been cooking down oats. Ever since the first human cooked down oats and said, this is a little bland, we've been putting things in oatmeal.
Okay.
Early man was like, this could use some sweet.
We have to excuse the content because of the time that we're in. There is so much bad, like, pantry cooking that's going on. You know, it's like, don't have lemons, use a potato. It's like, no, but okay. You know, like, not quite. But what really is funny is that, to me, is the lack of giving a shit about the quality of the person.
No, we don't care. I mean, look at it's Wendy. Like, look at Wendy Williams. Follow Rich Dziswiak on Twitter for like daily updates into Wendy's descent into madness.
I put a clip. The funny thing was when we were talking about it in the last episode, I put a clip of the old episode thinking that when I put a clip of the new one, you would be able to tell the difference.
It's worse. It's like gotten worse.
It's gotten worse. And I'm sorry, for how many times we get dinged if we like possibly maybe have something in our mouths on this podcast, people are like, get that thing out of your mouth. I can hear you chewing and I cannot stand it. Wendy is eating a full English breakfast or whatever, like throughout the show.
It's a plate of food.
She's just like slowly munching.
She's at one. Did you see yesterday? I'm going to quote Rich. What will today bring? Wendy Williams roasting a Slim Jim with a lighter and snapping into it on live television. Another reason to keep on living. And then there was this.
He's not wrong.
This I loved. So Naomi Campbell is doing a little show as well, like an interview show.
Oh, sure.
And here she is interviewing, who was that? Mark Jacobs. Listen.
And it was also at a time of my life where I was sober, I was clean, I was most fit, you remember?
Okay, what happened right there? Naomi Campbell's side of the screen just went black, and Mark Jacobs is noticing right there. Listen.
It just disappeared.
I'm just kidding.
And Naomi came back and said this.
Hello! So we're back. We had a technical hitch. These things happen, and with the climate of the way things are in the world, we're powerless. So,
we're powerless. What? In the climate and the way things are in the world, we're powerless.
I have to say, as an independent podcast producer and host, I'm really appreciating the celebrities having to hit these walls of technical difficulties that they have to figure out themselves.
Now they know. Now they know what it's like.
Yeah, maybe you got to figure out how to use Hindenburg software. Or
if your guest has to call in and can't come to the studio and you got to figure out a way to improvise a recording. And so you use a weird piece of equipment that you have.
Yeah, maybe you gotta Google it and spend like $400 and realize it doesn't work and can't figure it out, and then you gotta return it, and then you gotta buy something else.
Maybe your microphone fell into the Mystic River and you gotta show Kelly Ripa how to make oatmeal. Like, you gotta roll with the punches in these times.
Yeah, then you gotta get yourself a fishing rod because you gotta fish the microphone out of the water.
But then you end up catching eggs instead because it's bunny day.
Oh god, it's bunny day! And then you use the eggs to craft something, and then you tell Ryan and Kelly about it, but you don't have your microphone because it fell in the water.
I haven't played in probably literally 6 days. Because I'm
kind
upset.
Of sad for you because I feel like you were so excited for the game and now you're like not playing it. Still the same game.
It pisses me off. Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. This is just something I've been thinking about a lot lately. So Jessica Simpson's best friend is Casey Cobb, who's married to Donald Faison, who is best friends with Zach Braff, who is dating Florence Pugh. So do you think that Florence Pugh and Jessica Simpson have hung out? I've been trying to decide for like a while. Okay, that's all. Women do belong in balloons, but not right now because we all belong in our homes. Bye.
The best part about this question is our friend Maddie texted us last night with the same exact conspiracy theory, because you are not alone in thinking this. Mm-hmm. And also, I finally got around to, I didn't realize it was a video. I thought it was a comment. I watched the like scoldy Florence Pugh video. But can I just say, because I like her, I was like cringing because I felt bad the whole time.
I like her too, and I couldn't deal with that video. I'll play some clip of it here.
I'll underline this fact. I am 24 years old. I do not need you to tell me who I should and should not love. And I would never in my life ever tell anyone who they can and cannot love. It is not your place. And really, it has nothing to do with you.
My reaction, and it's definitely because I like her, was like, oh, like, I kind of do feel bad about this because it's kind of an internet exaggerated, not joke. It's like, clearly she can do whatever she wants, but the groan is on him, not on her, but she's bearing the brunt of it. And it's like kind of sad and disappointing. And so I did, when I watched it, because she's so well poised, even mm-hmm. though I kind of disagree with her saying anything at all because mm-hmm. it's ridiculous.
That's my ultimate thing. Yeah.
I did feel bad because I thought she did a good job kind of shaming people.
That is what celebrities do now.
I feel like this one is a little bit different because it's like people are putting shit on her and not on him. Usually it's like the other way around where it's like, we're like, Dennis Quaid, stop dating like a 20 year old or whatever. But it's because she's the one
who's famous
out there. And Zach Braff isn't the one getting right. Like, but no one's on Zach Braff's Instagram being like, you know, harassing
but I think people are. People are like, ew, you're gross. Like, but I mean, it makes sense that Florence is getting the brunt of it because she's more famous. She's the one people like.
Right.
We are not surprised by Zach Braff doing this. We're like, ugh, we roll our eyes at Zach Braff. I'm not even going to call this relationship gross or creepy. I'm just calling it like eye rolly. It's just like, God, we want Florence Pugh to date someone who seems as cool as she does. Or we just want her to seem cool.
It's not even
cool,
about
you know?
The
we
age
just want
difference.
Her to make marmalade alone. It really isn't about the age difference. It's just like fucking
isn't.
Him.
It really isn't.
Him?
It really isn't. And the other thing is like, what's weird is there's the other side of this, which you think like, oh, Zach Braff, like grown. But there is, he just launched a podcast with Donald Faison. And it is popular. People love it. They're thrilled. They're listening to it. So you think
following
like, you
in the
get
footsteps
in your,
of the office ladies.
But you get in your own bubble of like being like, no one cares about Zach Braff. He's so lame. But it's like, no, you don't understand. There's a fandom for him that has no idea that he's dating Florence Pugh and could not give a shit. So it's like, it's just interesting to me to see that and be like, we are really kind of sometimes in a bubble of our own, like who's actually mm-hmm. famous in a weird way.
But the thing about Florence Pugh is that she's perceived as being very cool. And the cool reaction to dating a lame person is to not say anything and keep on dating them and be like, fuck you, I'm going to keep dating him.
Right.
To actually respond to trolls is not cool, even if it's justified. Those are different things.
And in a way, it's a little bit like the intro from today, where it's like you're responding to trolls that are sometimes not even trolls, are just like playing with their friends and like doing like kind of a funny groan or mm-hmm. like trying to. They're doing more of a signal signal boost. No.
Oh, performative virtue signaling.
Virtue signaling. Like they're doing like a joke signaling, like a. A humor signaling, virtue signaling joke with their friends that has like nothing to do. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So here's the thing. Casey Cobb did comment on the Florence Pugh video with like a heart, whatever. Like,
they're friends.
You.
Oh, they know each other.
They're
buds.
Definitely friends. Like these two double date like all the fucking time.
Never forget Casey Cobb is the personal assistant that won the lottery, you know, like it's the dream
truly.
For every personal assistant, you know,
truly. The question is, do we know, I'm literally asking you, and I haven't read Open Book and don't plan to, but no. Although I will say, since we talked about and dismissed it, people are
it's so good
still
it's
fucking
so
talking
good.
About
it's
it
so
yeah
good.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe I will read it, but okay, the point is, are Casey Cobb and Jessica Simpson still close? I think so, yes. Yeah. They are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, do you know?
Oh yes. I haven't heard otherwise.
Right. And also the other thing is, because Florence is younger, she definitely maybe was part of like a Jessica Simpson fandom thing where like she was the right age you would be to watch Newlyweds and really mm-hmm. be affected by it.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like if Zach was invited to like a Jessica Simpson event, Florence like would come with him to mm-hmm. it. This is just like there's a very high, we don't have proof, but there's a high probability of this
yeah.
being true.
And yes, in December 2019, Jessica Simpson posted a photo of the two of them at a Christmas thing, like in front of a Christmas tree. And it says,
Florence?
No, Jessica Simpson called Casey Cobb her quote forever best friend. Okay. Every year you just keep getting hotter. Love you to the moon. Heart.
Yeah, I had a feeling they were still close because I feel like they still yeah.
And
yeah.
Casey, speaking of, you know, yet another example of us just projecting, you know, what we want from a celebrity onto the celebrity. Casey seems of those people, Donald, Casey, Zach, Casey's the coolest one. Like Casey's the one right. you want to hang out with whenever they're all at your house.
Casey might even be cooler than Florence Pugh. I mean, I'm not going to say it, but like, I don't know.
But I'm saying is when they double date and they're all in the same house, Florence is talking to Casey and Donald's talking right. to Zach and everyone's happy.
Medium time, long. Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Medium time, long time. So Wayne Brady is self-isolating with his ex-wife and her current boyfriend partially because they live next to each other. Hyaluronic acid, my gay boys.
This is amazing.
Wayne Brady is self-isolating with his ex-wife and her boyfriend, asterisk. They live next door to each other.
But it's so funny that this headline makes it seem like they're in a two-bedroom apartment, mm-hmm. Wayne Brady and his ex-wife and her boyfriend, when it's like, no, guys, they're rich. So when they describe them as isolating together, it's like they are coming into contact with each other.
He revealed this somewhere, and then People heard about it, and People was like, he was talking to People Now, their little video chat show. And the host was like, okay, so please, I need the more information about you isolating with your ex-wife, Mandy Takeda. And he's like, okay, here's what it actually is. And then he explained what's actually going on. So even though he said that he was self-isolating with her, he sort of meant it in a weird, nebulous way because they're next door neighbors. And it's like, they do the Laverne and Shirley. They just, you know, you go inside the apartment or whatever.
But most normal people aren't thinking, oh, it's an estate with two houses on it. They're mm-hmm. thinking, oh, it's like one house and Wayne Brady's in the basement. Because mm-hmm. that's like the normal description of what we're talking about here. And there probably are a lot of people who are isolating with their exes or their future exes or their, you know, around the corner exes or their kids from a previous marriage or whatever, you know. A lot of situations happening. Mm-hmm. It's just so funny that people are trying to convince me that Wayne Brady is doing that when it's like, no.
And another important little detail is that they have a kid together. And so that's another reason why he keeps going over there is because they're literally co-parenting.
Okay, I feel like that's a duh. Why would he go over there anyway if he wasn't?
He's not like hanging. But it is more than that because not only do they have a kid together, he's friends with the ex-wife's boyfriend. So, like, they're in the most, I don't know, ideal sort of perfect relationship between exes. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a fantasy land. Okay. So good for them.
If you say so, yeah. Okay.
Good for them. Wayne Brady, who are them?
Have we done him? Maybe not.
I really want to say 1, 2, 3 them.
I kind of want to say them, but I'm also kind of like, he does pretty hooey things.
What's he up to now? Like, I'm not really sure.
And also, what would you like call his main thing? Like,
whose line is it anyway?
But like, is that a big enough? Sure. But and then Broadway stuff, right? Like singing stuff.
Yeah.
And he was just Kinky on The Masked stuff. Singer. Didn't we talk about it when he was on The Masked Singer? He almost won The Masked Singer.
He almost won. Yeah.
Or he did win The Masked Singer last season. He might have won. I forgot.
Like such a big deal.
Okay, so we'll go.
Yeah,
we can still call him of them. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So jealous of people with yards. Next call.
Hey, Who Weekly. This is Rachel, long time, medium time. I'm calling to see if you had watched Tyra Banks, her food diary for Harper's Bazaar. Tyra might actually be a them, but she's got such strong Who energy that I think she works. She basically talks about eating a bagel and performs it like a monologue. So check it out if you haven't seen it yet. Crunch, crunch, we in Greece.
But let me tell you how I do my bagels. I take my bagel, plain bagel on a day that I'm not gonna be in front of somebody's face, onion bagel if I'm gonna be speaking closely to people. Wait, I said that opposite. Funky breath if I'm gonna be close to people. Okay, flop that, you know what I mean. I cut the bagel in half, and then I scoop out all that extra bagelization and put that on the side. Then I take my whipped cream cheese and I dig deep into that pot of it and I fill up the entire scooped out bagel rounds like a moat. But I'm not finished yet. Then I take that plate of that moated cream cheesed bagel and I put it inside of the microwave and I shut the door and then I set it for 20 seconds. And then what starts to happen is the molecular makeup of that cream cheese starts to change. It's like a science project. And when you take it out of the microwave, it's not just heated, oh no. It's creamy and it has a slightly tart flavor that it didn't have pre-microwave.
The thing with this video is that Tyra's been like this for a while now.
20 years.
I mean, 15. I'm just saying, like, Whedon kind of, she's been like this since the beginning, since she started hosting stuff, right? Like, just the, what is even her affect is, like, insane.
Well, it's.
She's.
I mean, she's, her whole thing, she's always wanted to be Oprah, and she could never attain it, you know? Like, she wants to be the smart sounding interviewer commentator, and she just doesn't really have it in her, and so it's always come across as a little peculiar.
It's kooky in a way that it's like, it's kooky in a way where she's able to say so much and could literally talk forever, but nothing seems to kind of make sense.
She's perfect for radio. Yeah,
we're talking about her food diary, which is her, it doesn't have to make sense, but this has always been, this is why we get like Tyra-isms and we get kind of the like, the Tyra Banks that creates these clips that go viral, just because they kind of don't make any, they really don't make any sense. And she hasn't really.
I mean, her whole brand is about saying things very confidently that don't hold up to scrutiny. Like, what is the most famous thing she's ever done? Smize. Smize doesn't make any sense, especially the way that she defines it, where she's like, you have to smize. Whenever she, every time she did in that show,
well, the example, joke,
you're
right,
doing this, but what you need to do is this. It's like, you're doing the same thing.
The joke is like, right, is how to, is showing somebody how to model is almost like an irrelevant thing. It's like they're hot, they have a certain look that people want, they'll figure it out, you know. But then she made a 40-year reality show based on the idea that she could teach it or that you could learn it or whatever. And like, not saying that there's stuff that you can't learn, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes the qualifications just need to be there, or your qualifications just mean that you don't need to learn anything, right? You're so hot. You're exactly the look that they're looking for.
I love that every Harper's Bazaar food diary is over 6 minutes, where it's like, everything I eat in a day. In what world does everything I eat in a day take anything over 30 seconds to explain?
I know.
I had a bowl of Magic Spoon. For lunch, I'm going to have some eggs. And tonight, I'm going to have some leftover chili. And I'm gonna,
I mean, it's a Grub Street ripoff, right? So it's this, it's a clear ripoff of this Grub Street column, which is nice, which is kind of fun to read, to be honest.
It's fun to
whatever.
Read.
Translating it into this format with a celebrity is insane, right? Mm-hmm. You can't really cut it down. I guess you could edit it down, but it's like, you can't really cut it down.
Like, what are you gonna cut down the part where she just says, like, I put my scooped out, you need to have the context of the bagel before the putting the scooped out bagel in the microwave for 20 seconds can make sense.
It's also a YouTube meme, I just remembered, that's really popular, which is just what I eat in a day.
It's YouTube meets Condé Nast's thirst for like glossy video content with celebrities. You know,
I don't want to give Grub Street credit for the what I eat in a day, because that is clearly a huge YouTube thing, but it is normally it's normally accompanied with like it's a voiceover on the person kind of going throughout their day making their food. So it's a little bit more interesting of a format than just Tyra Banks sitting there telling you about her bagel that she scoops out or whatever. I don't even know.
It's just, it would be more interesting and authentic if they were just like, what did you eat yesterday? You know, or like, give me one representative day from the past week.
You can't,
these are all performances.
you can't tell Tyra Banks to do anything. She's like, okay, bagels. I do, like, you know, then it becomes like a fantasy, a bagel fantasy.
Bagel. There's no way she does this every day. And there's no way she takes the time to scoop her bagel out and microwave it for 20 seconds.
It's also just so funny that Tyra's like, I've been into bagels recently.
If I'm seeing people, I have a plain bagel. But if I'm not seeing people, I have an onion bagel. It's like, no, you've seen Devil Wears Prada and you're making one joke.
Okay. We have to move on from this. But yeah, these sorts of things. Tyra Banks is like such a character.
Never, ever, 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 ever believe a celebrity when they tell you what they ate. Just don't.
That's true.
Unless it's like a true lunatic celebrity, like, I don't know, Patti LuPone or Barbara Streisand, because they might be like, or Celine Dion, she might be like, yeah, I drank some water. Or what is Mariah Carey's thing is true, where she's like, I just eat salmon. Salmon and vegetables.
If the prompt is, what do you eat? You know it's going to be like a fully performative, written out, whatever. Because nobody wants to admit what they ate, you know?
Yeah, okay, next call.
Hi, Who Weekly. Can you guys figure out how Tara Reid is doing? I did a little digging on her social media pages, but I can't find anything like super recent. Just want to make sure she's quarantining correctly. Thanks. Crunch, crunch. Bye.
You are correct. The last thing that Tara Reid tweeted was a retweet
of herself
who, and she had tweeted this on March 4th. It was a retweet of herself retweeting her new
quote tweeting
her new manager slash agent, and he wrote, I am now officially manager slash agent to the wonderful and extremely talented actress at Tara Reid. Go follow her and check her IMDb. Instant entertainment, have new clients, film, hashtag actress, hashtag success, hashtag movies, hashtag casting, hashtag character, hashtag roles, hashtag audition. Oh my God. And she retweeted and wrote, I am so happy to see Philippe rep me.
No, but she said, I am so happy to see at Philippe, but she wrote the word at A-T. I'm so happy to see at A-T. Philippe rep me, yeah. But his username isn't even at Philippe. It's
Phil.
Ampersand Phil underscore Ashfield. Okay. But she said A-T space Philippe rep me. And then she retweeted herself.
Her last Instagram was from 4 weeks ago. And it was Happy International Women's Day from Bella and I. And she posted, I think Bella's a dog. I can't even tell. I forget.
God, celebrities really need to learn how to use I.
But I was like, okay, where do I think Tara Reid is and how do I figure out what she's doing? And then I remembered, like a private detective, that she's probably on Cameo. And I remembered that you can see the most instant video, the most recent videos that somebody's done on Cameo. And you can see that, yes, Tara Reid is in someone's house or in her house. Someone's in her house. There is a mystery man who keeps popping up. And there's somebody holding the camera in some of these. Because at one point she's holding dogs and he's holding the camera. Mm-hmm. So there's a mystery man. Maybe it's Philippe. I don't know who it is. But the point is the way that she talks about the quarantine is so good. And also, I feel a little bad because I think somebody paid to make her quote Carl Sagan, and she does it in a way that
is very... Let's play the whole thing here.
Happy birthday. It's your 40th. Happy birthday, Jezzy. These are from your friends, and they want me to tell you, we love you, all in the world of late Carl Sagan. Even these stars, which seem so numerous, are sand or dust, or less than dust. And then enormity, a space in which there is nothing. Love, Luis and Aaron. Take care.
I gotta say, it's not very nice to make Tara Reid quote Carl Sagan for your Cameo video. Okay.
There's also a weird snowman hovering over her. Why is there a snowman hanging in her kitchen?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out where she was. She's definitely in a house. There's a big kitchen. There's a weird kitchen. Like snowman hanging from the ceiling or something that's like kind of right above her head. Did you see the one where there's a man in the background
and he's like doing the dishes or something? It's very weird.
But it does kind of say, your question was, is Tara Reid quarantining? And the answer, I think, is yes, because I'm seeing evidence that she's in the same place. She's doing her cameos.
She's definitely in the same place in all of the most recent cameos, which is good for her.
Yeah.
Her cameo is $125. She typically responds in one day. Every single recent cameo is in the same place, and that snowman is hovering over her.
Yeah, you got to play a few more of these. Or what? I hate that the cameos are public, but I also love it. You got to play a few more of these. The way that she talks about this time is...
Hey, Kelly, I heard it's your birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Kaylee. Happy birthday to you. I know we're going through like a really hard time with all of us in quarantine and corona, but I just want you to know we're all gonna be okay. And thank you for supporting me and being my friend. And also, I love that you love Sharknado. You're the best. And Kaylee, you rock. Happy birthday. You're the coolest girl in the world. Love, Tara.
Okay, aww. I figured out the snowman. That was sweet of her to say that.
What's the snowman?
Okay, so this angle, we see a little lower into the kitchen. Big kitchen, kind of a great kitchen. So right. when she's holding it herself, we're seeing mostly the ceiling because of the angle. And there's a giant snowman hanging from the ceiling like a chandelier.
Yeah.
Then in this, we see the actual chandelier that's over the breakfast nook. And on the chandelier, the lighting fixture, there are little Christmas ornaments hung. She hasn't taken down her Christmas decorations. That's what this is. She hasn't taken down her Christmas decorations.
Oh, are you kidding? They're just Christmas decorations? Yeah.
They're Christmas decorations that have not been taken down.
But that kind of implies that it's her place, not someone else's place, because that is a Tara Reid thing to do, maybe.
And maybe she is one of those people. Maybe she's like one of those 365 days a year Christmas stores, but it's her house. So I don't know. That would make sense. Christmas is a thing that makes you happy. So maybe she likes being happy.
Anyways, I just wanted to let you know that Tara Reid seems to be doing what she's doing, and she's doing it.
She has amazing reviews. Everyone says that she always went above and beyond, that she gave perfect things.
She did. I heard that. She did. She said, "You're the coolest girl in the world."
Okay, good for Tara. So that's what Tara's up to. God, what a great income stream.
Yeah, truly. I know Cameo is like, remember we talked about Cameo 500 years ago? Like, we were too early on Cameo and now it's literally mainstream. Okay, whatever.
What are the who's and thems of video conferencing? Obviously, Skype them, Zoom them. I think Teams is a who, but what are your thoughts?
Well, who are the who's and thems of, in these times we're doing so much video conferencing, whether it's, you know, for work or for birthdays or just
Zoom
for little happy hours.
Zoom went from who to them.
Zoom was who to them in a day.
And FaceTime, I think, kind of dropped a little, but is them. FaceTime is them, but dropped a little.
Well, because FaceTime, because, you know, we're trying to keep in touch with all of our friends and not all of our friends have Apple devices. And so FaceTime
Google Hangouts are kind of a who in this situation.
Yeah, and it doesn't always work super well.
It works so badly.
It works well if you have an enterprise account. If you have Google Meet, if you're lucky enough to have access to a Google Meet, you're doing great. But Hangouts is really clunky, and I don't like it.
And House Party, that app went from who to them pretty quick because people were now talking about House Party.
I haven't used it. Skype, I don't really use. Either, but I think Skype is a them, but Skype is so dated. I don't use Skype.
But Skype is more of an international them. It's like the standard for making international phone calls, kind of.
Yeah,
in many places, right? Like when I studied abroad, it was like, oh, you have to have Skype, you know, okay. Da, da, da.
Well, then there's also Slack. Slack does video, but I think Slack's still very hooey. Yeah.
No, Slack is so fucking, for that reason, that's hooey.
And so is Teams, the Microsoft Slack competitor. That's what the caller mentioned.
Oh,
who else? What other ones are there?
What are people using? I don't know. I feel like, honestly, it's crazy to me. The Zoom thing is crazy to me just because.
Oh, WebEx. Who? Cisco WebEx. Oh. No, I think it's like if I work for a Fortune 500 company, you're a them. But if not, get out of here. Don't know what you are. No.
Sometimes it does shock. It does amaze me, though, sometimes how well Zoom can work in terms of kind of having a phone call where you can see everyone's faces and there's like 10 people. It is kind of shocking that, cool. that it can work. That you can
but the
have
moment you get
actual...
more than 10, it's like, good luck, lady. We were in a Zoom birthday party last night, and it was like, it became anarchy very quickly, and it just like stopped working. It was like, you're having connectivity issues, and it's like, I know that my internet can't handle this. Something is wrong here. And it just
I couldn't even get into that Zoom. Yeah, it's... You know, it has technical difficulties, but I did one for my birthday, like a little like pop in, whatever.
Worked.
And
it worked okay.
It was nice. It was nice. And it's also just nice to see everyone's faces. Like, even if you were all muted, right? And like listening to like a playlist or something, it's just, it is nice to see people's faces in this way that mm-hmm. is not, we're talking about Zooming, not just for pure communication and trying to say something, but more just like the experience of being yeah. with people, right?
So my favorite thing about Zoom that one of our friends brought up in your birthday Zoom was that it's really hard to leave Zoom. It takes too many steps.
Yes. Oh,
so when you're
so
like
funny.
When you're like, bye, I gotta go, you have to click leave meeting and then you have to confirm, but there's a lag between each of those clicks, so you can't just like hang up. You have to like hang up and then
leaving
wait and then
Zoom
hang up again.
Tough. There is an etiquette that has not quite been established. Like, I don't even know if it will be established by the time this is over. I pray it's not, because I pray it's short. But like, the term the point is that it's, you have to really kind of either accept it, you're just going to be like, bye. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. Which I think is fine to just be like, okay, we got to go. Bye.
Yeah.
Or
what is the term? The Irish goodbye, the French exit, the whatever. You can't do that.
Yeah, well, you can either Irish goodbye at a birthday party, or what you do is you go up to the person whose birthday is and you say, hey,
I'm
gotta go. It's happy birthday. So good to see. Like, you do that, like, moment.
You do it privately,
and then and then you're free. But for Zoom, because you can't have a private moment, you're like, okay.
And everyone, and it's not like you could slip out the back door, you know, because the entire interface changes. Like, when a window goes away, the other windows reorganize. And you're like, oh, someone left. Like, I could slip out of a party unnoticed very easily, but not on a Zoom.
Oh, I know you can't. I know you can't, and you have.
Oh, I love slipping out of a party.
Me to Bobby text, did you leave? Bobby, 25 minutes ago, sweetie.
I'm
like,
in
it'll
bed,
be an
honey.
Hour. It'll be an hour. I'll be like, oh, he's gone.
You can't do that in a Zoom. I was in a good Zoom. I told you about this. I was in a good Zoom with Josh's friends, and we had been Zooming for like 2 hours, and one of them just goes, it was very clear that the energy was like lowering, but one of them finally just goes, okay guys, I'm over it, bye. And I'm over this, bye. And then just left.
Okay, I'm sorry, but that's so rude. I would never
really
do
funny.
That.
It was really
fun. I would
fun.
Never
like, what
do
else
that.
To say? We were also in a really bad Zoom birthday party, and then we were texting with people during it. Like, how do we get out of this? Because we didn't know half of the people
you
in
just
it.
Said, yeah, well, right. You got it. You know, you make up an excuse.
But you,
you
know
gotta
what the best
excuse.
New excuse is? The best new excuse that everyone's what? Using, including myself.
What is
I've
it?
I've got another Zoom. I have another Zoom happy hour right now.
Okay, but that is like...
Because everyone has Zoom happy hours all the time now. So you can just be like, I have to go to another Zoom. I'm already late for another Zoom.
But
that's the best thing to say.
That makes you sound insane. But that kind of makes you sound crazy.
No. No. You're keeping up with your friends.
Like, I have another Zoom. Oh, sorry. I got another...
Multiple Zooms in a night. Multiple nights.
Well, you're fucking so popular. See, that's the response I wouldn't want. It's like, I'm not going to be out here
bragging about my Zooms. I guess it helps because there are two people... It helps that there are two people in my household... Double the Zoom appointments.
Mm-hmm.
But just
so
say,
busy.
I've got
He's
another
so
Zoom.
Busy. He's
I've got
so
another Zoom.
Busy.
Whatever. You can play Animal Crossing while you Zoom. That's what's great.
I mean, you can because you have it set up on the TV. So it looks like you're looking kind of at the Zoom, but you're looking
beyond
the Zoom.
No, I've held the Switch in my hand and played Animal Crossing. That's fine. No one cares.
I mean, especially if it's Josh's Zoom. You're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh,
dishwasher.
I need a dishwasher. I can't live without
a dishwasher.
I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want. and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place. Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
up.
And
we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate, you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
the
good stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, ma, mother.
Capital M,
all
mother.
All mothers for years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. My name is Laura. I'm calling in quarantine craziness. What happened to Carrie Hilson? Where did she go? Who was she seen with? Was she ever a them? I don't think so, but she definitely was on the cusp at one point, maybe like, I don't know, like 10 years ago. I don't even know. What happened to Carrie Hilson? Was she ever a them, or is she forever in whodom? Crunch. Bye.
First of all, we've talked about Carrie Hilson because she's like kind of an iconic figure in pop culture in terms of when you talk about hashtag flops or whatever. But did you
had
see
every, some... Had everything and then it went away.
Did you see somebody added her 5G conspiracy to her Wikipedia, which is so rude. In 2020, during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, Hilson's spreading of falsehood suggested the virus was due to 5G wireless technology briefly overshadowed her music career. Who wrote this? That is so briefly overshadowed her music career.
The last time we talked about her was in January 2019. Because someone called to say what's she up to. And she's been starring in Lifetime movies, remember?
Yeah.
She was starring in some made-for-TV movies.
Yeah.
She's also one of those people who's always like, her new album, like, her comeback album's coming soon. And it's like never coming. It's like never coming, but it's always coming soon. That's what Carrie Hilson is up to.
I mean, I personally am a big fan. I love Pretty Girl Rock. I think Pretty Girl Rock is like an incredible song. So Carrie Hilson does mean something special to me.
You say that a lot. Yeah.
But she had some hits. She got fucked over a little bit. She said some rude things about people she shouldn't have said rude things about, aka Beyonce. You don't say shit about Beyonce. Yeah. You are gonna get in trouble. But we've been over this.
We've been
and
over
honestly
it.
I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, you know the Carrie Hilson shtick. You know
what
like,
we haven't been over is 5G conspiracy theories. And 5G conspiracy theorists, of whom she
it's
is
spreading
one.
Through celebs like love this conspiracy, I think. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a strain of celeb that loves this conspiracy.
She tweeted all these things about 5G, and then she had to delete them. And then she tweeted, management has asked me to delete the vid/articles. Shruggy emoji. I appreciate good discourse on unconventional thinking. Let's all just be safe out there, because whatever the cause, the virus is a real thing. May God be with us. Prayers to all. So she was basically saying that 5G caused it. And
can
I was like, okay.
Can you imagine being Carrie Hilson's management right now, and you have to be out here being like, Carrie, please delete the tweets about 5G.
I can't believe she still has management. So the like, what were they managing? I mean, at least there's something to manage. I'd rather manage a 5G conspiracy theory than nothing. So I was like, I keep hearing celebrities say that 5G causes coronavirus, and I have not actually looked into what they think that means, because I don't understand how, like, an upgraded cell phone network can cause COVID. So it says, here we go. I found something on GQ.
Yeah.
I found the answer on GQ.
Yeah, right.
The more widespread theory is that 5G weakens the immune system through radiation, thus making you more susceptible to COVID-19. That's what they think it does.
I don't even have 5G. My phone is slow as hell. Where's my 5G? If I'm going to get affected by everyone else's 5G, where's my 5G?
It's ridiculous. So then Woody Harrelson Instagrams, a lot of my friends have been talking about the negative effects of 5G. My friend Camilla seems this to me today, though I haven't fully vetted it. I find it very interesting.
Meanwhile, MIA, who just came out as an anti-vaxxer, is out here being like, oh, 5G.
In here.
Oh, in here. Sorry. Wait. Oh, she says she doesn't think it's 5G.
No, but she says it can slow down the healing process. This is the same shit. She's not saying it causes
If you're
COVID.
Worried about radiation, there are so many other things that we own that put out more radiation than cell phone towers, that, like, if that's what you're worried about, it
radiation
should be the 5G.
Is everywhere. The sun, radiation. Your phone, radiation. Microwave,
the sun
radiation.
Is actually way more, the sun is way more dangerous than 5G. God, let's
people
be
don't know
real.
What radiation is. Radiation is all right, over the fucking right, place. You take right, a flight, right. Radiation. You get more radiation.
I mean, just look at the list of celebs that are sus. We have John Cusack. Okay. MIA. Okay. Woody Harrelson and Carrie Hilson. Sorry. This is not my panel of scientists that I'm going to go to bat for in terms of this. Okay. And then we have an anonymous person who wrote to Vulture about getting a test faster than anyone, and
I'm so pissed at that Vulture thing. Shut up.
Within the as told to, there's a little drop of 5G. Maybe it's 5G.
Maybe it's 5G that's going all over, and we're just going to be feeling less than. It affects us all in a major way. So it's the actress has asthma. Her husband is 71.
Is 72.
Who
yeah,
is this person?
71.
I think it's Bette Midler.
Really?
Because she's a little wackadoo. Her husband's 72, not 71, but it wouldn't surprise me if they either changed the age just to mask her, or if Bette Midler didn't know how old her husband was.
Yeah, wait, so how did you figure out Bette Midler's husband? You just went... You
I literally, guessed. When I read it, I said, this sounds like Bette Midler, and I Googled her husband's age, and it was 71.
And also, Bette Midler, 72. Because of her tweets, would totally
yes,
write...
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And if Bette Midler were to pitch an essay to anyone, it would be New York Magazine /Vulture.
Right,
New
because
York
she's
media.
Like a New York, she's a New Yorker.
I think it's her.
You know, I believe, I buy
Does
that
she have asthma? I don't know, but
I tried to figure out who it was, but they wouldn't tell me. But I think we can figure it out. I think someone call in. Who is this person?
Point is,
this
like,
is easy.
It's annoying that they would post that anonymously to begin with. Like, fuck you,
right,
put your name on it.
Right, it's wimpy. It is wimpy because it's like, we know celebrities got tests faster because they have access to private doctors who were able to get tests faster. Mm-hmm. So why? And if you're going to own up to being like, yes, I am one of the privileged few, it's not brave to hide behind an as told to. We know this is a fact that we already
know. Like, we
know
that you're doing this.
You're not revealing the truth that celebrities are getting tests, and you didn't actually reveal any information about how
you just
that
feel guilty.
Happens. You just feel bad. So either you say, hey, this is something that happened to me and I feel bad about it and here's why. Or you don't share this information like this because we already know.
Yeah.
So boring. Yeah. Anyway, you're right.
Okay, we're done. Thank you for listening to Who's There, Who Weekly, our weekly call-in show. We really appreciate it. Hope you're doing well in self-isolation, quarantine. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Call us at 619-WHO-THEM if you have any questions, comments, concerns. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love reading them. And support us on patreon.com/weekly for twice weekly bonus episodes. And we'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye-bye.
to be famous?